Hey everyone, welcome back to Too Authentic. My name is Jas and I'm here with my partner in crime, Sven.
Hey guys, how you going?
On Too Authentic, we talk about controversial and relevant topics in a real and authentic way. Maybe too authentic for some. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing mental health and self-care, and I'll be opening up a lot about my own journey on both of these topics, which I think are very important to discuss.
Yeah, you guys might know Jas from Instagram, and you might find her inspiring for what she's done in the recent month, everything she stands for in the fitness context, but also in the context of female empowerment and trying to break societal taboos. A lot of times we look at people on social media and we do not really see the story behind it. And this goes for myself. I also go through highs and lows, basically. And, you know, I've had points in my life where I have doubted myself more than I do today. And, you know, where I felt like things were running against me, but maybe even more about you. So I think it's great to use this platform to also open up about the human part in the people we maybe might admire or look up to on social media, to see that no one's superhuman and we all go through the same things. And this is what today's episode is supposed to be about.
Yeah, so I'm just like everyone else out there. I'm not a superhuman or a superwoman, but like a lot of people call me that. But to me, I'm just Jas. And, you know, over the years, I've been through a lot of things, and a lot of us listening have been through similar things as well. So I thought by sharing and opening up about my own journey, I could show you guys that, you know what, it doesn't always have to be this way. There is a way out. And at the end of the day, it's all up to you. And it is largely in your hands for most part, you know. For me, especially when I was going through high school, I always kind of struggled finding my own feet, trying to figure out who I was. I've always had a little bit of an identity crisis. And I think up until recently, I was still very much in this crisis. And I think that did affect my mental health a lot because I wasn't really sure who I was and what my place was in this world. Because on one hand, you've got the path that you think you're supposed to follow. And then the other part is, you know who you are and you're trying to figure out what your own path is, but this overarching plan that everybody else has for you, you try and kind of skew your way to kind of fit that. And I think a lot of the time when we try and, you know, fit what other people want for us and follow their expectations, we kind of lose ourselves a little bit in that process. And I think in the important times where I was supposed to be finding out who I really was and what I stood for and what I was all about, I feel like I was losing a lot of myself trying to please other people. And I'm not sure if that's something that you can relate with or if you've ever experienced that.
I think I can relate to that. And I think almost everyone can relate to that. Even, you know, in societies where you do have the freedom, yeah, you know, where there is no massive inequality between genders or, you know, like certain groups within the society, where everyone has the freedom and the opportunity to follow their own path and achieve something in life. But still, I think especially growing up, being a teenager, you know, these are the years where you go from, you were a kid and you always followed what your parents sort of dictated, so to say. And not just in the extreme and negative context, but you always had guidance to finding yourself. And I think that a lot of people during this phase go through some sort of identity crisis, or at least a phase where you are finding yourself, you're finding your own purpose, you find what you want to do in life. And then if there are certain aspects in your life, it might be your parents and their expectations, you know, the environment you're in that sort of pull you the wrong way, this can lead into an identity crisis, and also you might give in and this might pull you further away from where you actually want to be or who you actually want to be. And I think this is the root of a lot of difficulties you go through then, and this can even lead all the way into depression. I think without being a psychologist or a doctor, I think a lot of times the root of it all is when you start or when you are not true to yourself.
Yeah, and that's something I can definitely relate with, because I feel like as I was growing up, I knew the kind of steps that I had to take to make myself a success. I mean, like what every kind of parent wants for their child and what every family wants for their child is for their child to be successful in whatever that they do. And for me, like following this path and then going through my education and then going on to university and knowing how much I had to study, what I had to study and what job I would get into and then what my life would look like I feel like for a lot of that, I was on autopilot. Like I don't even remember a moment where I reflected and thought, okay, what is it that I actually want? I kind of just did those things because I was supposed to do those things. And I don't know if that's something like a lot of people can relate with or if it's not, I don't know. But just for me, like I knew what I had to do and I just kind of did it. But there was no, what does Jazz want in this? Who am I really? And you know, I feel like my mental health suffered a lot when I got to this point where I was like, where I started to reflect about what I actually wanted and whether I was really happy in the choices that I was making and whether these choices were really mine or if they were for someone else, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And look, connecting or going back to what I said before and just calling it by its name,
yeah.
If we in the context of mental health and self-care, we also have to talk about depression, of
yeah.
course, which is probably sort of the ultimate stage of struggling to find yourself or struggling to create a life around what you actually want for yourself. I wouldn't say I've ever reached or hit this point, but at the same time, I know looking back, looking at myself 5, 10, 15 years ago, I know that I was a lot more insecure about myself and what I wanted to do in life and, you know, who I should take my inspiration from and, you know, having like certain fears or anxieties in my life and maybe giving them too much power. So then how I overcame this for myself, it's a shorter story to tell than yours once we get into it. But I basically started forcing myself to seek discomfort, to leave my comfort zone and do exactly what I was afraid of, do exactly what scared me. And then step by step with these positive changes and experiences, you know, once I pushed myself into these situations over and over again, you become familiar with it. And this is how I overcame these anxieties or fears and gained confidence. And then you realize actually, you know, there's so much more I can do. I'm so much bigger. I was the one holding myself back.
Yeah.
And I am not who I thought I was. I am not who I was at that stage. You know, that was just the slim, the crippled version of myself. And I think it's hard to see when you're at a point where you're depressed. But all of us, we have so much more potential inside us than we use at this moment. You know, at this point, we can always do and be more in the most positive way, you know, if we just believe in ourselves. And coming back to what I said in the intro, we look at people on social media a lot of times and we admire them, which is great. You know, I also have a lot of people that inspire me, that I take inspiration and education from, but I'm not looking at them in the sense of I'm putting them up there and treat them like gods. I know that I can be there. You know,
yeah.
I can become this. I can do this. You know, it all starts with believing in yourself and knowing that you have a bigger purpose as well. So I think this is something that helps you as well. If you find your purpose and maybe you can just continue or get into your story a little bit and how this path of finding your purpose, following what you love has helped you through, well, we've got to name it, through or out of depression
yeah.
as well.
And, you know, discussing all of this is something that I've been thinking about for a long time because I've never really openly said a lot of these things. And it's
yeah,
very...
Sorry to interrupt you. I almost feel sorry sort of like kind of hitting or touching this now and pushing you into this or leading into this part of the conversation or podcast. But yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of know that I need to. And I think I need to, not just for me, but to show other people that there is a way out and that, you know, you'll get to a place where you are okay and you can handle the things that you feel and not feel so overwhelmed all the time. But for me, like, especially when I was growing up, I always had this weird, unsettling, like, anger in me. And I can't really explain it fully, but I had this weird, like, fire in me. Like, I would snap at little things. And this is just overall, like, snap at little things or just feel negative about certain situations or get very anxious about them and very, like, fear-based in my thinking. But at the time, I didn't know that that was, you know, something that I could fix or that I could get better from. I just accepted it as, no, that's just what it is because the people I grew up around, grew up around, we're also very anxious and we're very fear driven as well.
So you were like, that's just how I am.
That's just how it is. And this is my story and that's my life, whatever, you know, I never really reflected and thought there's a way out of this, or I didn't even think that it was something to fix. I thought this is just my normal, you know, but it wasn't until I would say my last year of high school when I just finished my exams, and my exams were like, oh, I feel like that was like the most important time in my life. I had to do really well. I was like, next level, like vomiting before every exam. I was so stressed because I wanted to do well, you know, because I felt like my life depended on it. And
not for yourself, not intrinsic.
Extrinsic motivation, yeah, exactly. You know. So I really stressed myself out a lot there. And once they were all done, I felt like a sigh of relief. But then after doing them, I was like, oh, wasn't that bad after all, you know. I didn't feel like, oh, it was as important as I made it out to be. And then in Sydney, Australia, we do something called the HSC, so the high school certificate. So first you'll get your raw marks and then you get your ATAR, which is like the score, like it's like the average of all your marks and how you do in the state. So I got those marks and I was super duper happy with how I went. Like my rankings were great, did really, really well. And I then got my final mark as well. Now, between getting the final mark and those raw marks, it's like a day. And for me, just a little bit of a background, for the first 4 years of my life, I grew up in Nairobi, Kenya, and I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, so I was very, very close with her because my parents used to work, and I spent a lot of time there, and I was the first grandchild, so I was very, very spoiled, and I had a very good relationship with her. And I remember just while I was studying for my exams, she's like, I'll go to the temple, I'll pray for you, and I'll make sure, you know, everything is fine, and she was just giving me support, and so was my grandfather on my father's side as well. And I remember getting my raw marks and my family was like, oh, you should call her and tell her, you know, how you went, because I'm sure she wants to know. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll wait until I get my final mark, just the average mark, so I can be like, you know what? Look, this is the mark
that's
I got.
The whole score. Yeah,
and I also didn't want to have to explain, okay, now they got to take the average. And I was like, oh, it's too complicated. So I wanted to give her that mark and then tell her that I got into the course I wanted to, because I knew I would with the marks that I got. Like, it was very clear that I would have gotten in. And then the night came where I was going to get my mark in the morning. So I went to bed and I had this conversation with my family. I'm like, yeah, I'll call her in the morning after I get this mark. So I went to bed and like the phone rang in the middle of the night. It was like 2 a.m. And whenever a phone rings in the middle of the night, like, you know, something's up. You're just like, why is this phone ringing randomly right now? And I heard my mom pick up the phone, or my dad, I don't fully remember. And then I just remember hearing this like scream, like somebody wailed. Like, you know, that really sad scream. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happened. And it turned out that my grandmother had passed away. You know, she had a heart attack. And at the time I was like, I didn't even realize what happened. I just went back to sleep. Because me, I've never experienced grief of any form up until that point. Like, yes, there have been people in the extended family that passed away, but no one that I was really close to. So for me, it was just like, I don't know what to do with this. And I was very shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just pretended to be asleep so I didn't have to deal with it at that moment. Mm. And then in the morning when I woke up, I was like, a part of me was hoping that it was just a dream, you know. But I woke up and my parents, like, they were so upset. My family was so upset. And then it started to hit me. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, she's actually passed away. And for me, that was like...
How old again at that stage?
I was just about to turn 18 in February. She passed away December. So I was 17.
So and like nine... You like were going to say,
yeah, I was going to turn 18, so about 10 years ago now. Yeah. Wow, that's a long time. Shit, didn't even realize how fast time flies. Yeah. And yeah, that morning, I remember I was like, far out, and I didn't even get to call her. You know, I was so upset at myself. So I was upset that I was, first of all, angry, like that she left me. I don't know how I can even justify this, but I was so angry. Then I was angry at like God and the universe and everything else out there. I'm like, why would you do that, you know? And I felt like I couldn't even enjoy like being able to share this important news with her because she wasn't there to share with, and that news meant nothing to me. I didn't even look at my mark that day. I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't even look at it for like days, you know? And that up until, you got to understand, for someone going through high school, that's like one of the most important days of your high school life because you learn what your final mark is, and then that's you're on to the next stage of your life. Like, you're going to uni and whatever. So that day meant shit all to me because of all this was happening, and I didn't know how to handle it. Everyone around me was crying. I had no idea what the hell to do. I did not cry. Okay, I was just a little, very angry on the inside. I did not cry, I did not show any emotion for any of it. I just was on autopilot. I was just going through the motions. People were coming to the house, giving condolences, and I was there helping to make tea and just carrying on, you know, like on autopilot. And then I slowly started to realize, you know, she's passed away. But then because she was overseas in Kenya, I was like kind of pretending that it didn't happen. Like I could just kind of shove it to the side. And then, yeah, like that happened. I got into my school, my uni that I wanted to get into, and that wouldn't start till February. So I had a bit of a break, and I spent a lot of that time spending time with my friends and just being distracted, not taking any time to focus on what had actually happened and dealing with the grief.
Sort of escaping, running away from the reality.
Yeah, running from reality. And then I would speak a lot more to my grandfather in India, who I would speak to on the phone every week. And we'd just talk about like happy stuff. And he'd be like, you know what? It's okay. These kind of things happen. And I think he was starting to realize that I hadn't dealt with it as well. So he was trying like, kind of like pushing me to deal with it. But I would just like, I'm like, I'm fine. It's fine. Whatever. I felt like I had to be the strong one for everyone, you know? And then freaking hell, January comes around. So that was in December. And end of January comes around. And my grandfather got really sick. He got diagnosed with like leukemia, and my dad had to go overseas to go and spend time with him. I didn't think that it was that serious. I was like, oh, they can probably help him. Like the way the doctors were speaking, like, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then I was at work one day, and I remember coming home and no one was home. And then I heard this message on the answering machine, and it was my dad, so upset on the phone. And he just said, he was speaking to my mom. He's like, I don't know where you are. No, I can't pick up the phone, but he's passed away. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. And I remember hearing that. And then randomly my mom came when I saw her, and she's like, your grandfather passed away. And all I remember is I screamed. Everything went
like black. Oh, yeah.
Everything went black.
Yeah.
1 second.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Everything went black.
And that's when it all hit you.
And then everything kind of just hit me. I was like, whoa. I mean, like the space of 2 months, I've lost important people, very important people to me. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. No one told me how to deal with grief. There's no like handbook, you know. So I was very, very lost after that.
Yeah.
That's when I kind of started to go into a bit of a hole, like a black hole. And, you know, I know you speak a lot about how it's all in our control, the way we feel. And, you know, we can, for the most part, handle these things. But when things like take the wind out of you like this, and I'm sure you can relate, and a lot of people here can relate too, you just don't know what to do. You have no idea. You're just in this fog and you're like, shit, what do I do with all this that has happened? And then it's like you try and run from it. You get angry. And over the next few months, it just kept manifesting into more and more pain and anger and fear and anxiety. I became paranoid about everything. I felt like I was going to lose everyone. I felt like, what is this world? Like, I was upset. I remember screaming at the sky. I'm like, why would you do this to us? And it was very tough for me to deal with, you know? And that's when I realized that, you know what, something is not feeling right with me. Something felt off. So I went through to uni. I was going through the motions, doing everything, you know, like what I was meant to do and stuff like that. But never really taking time to myself. I made sure that there was no spare time where I was just by myself. I was always surrounded by people. I was always doing something. So I was never left alone with my thoughts. And I know now, looking back in hindsight, I did that purposely because I didn't want to face things.
Yeah.
You know, I was running. I was running so fast that I didn't want to spend time with myself. And that's so sad for me to say now because I love spending time with myself and reading and stuff. But back then, none. I didn't want to spend any time with myself at all.
Yeah, I think if we talk about grief, it always hits you when it's people that are close, but it hits you even more and maybe in a different way, and it can throw you off or throw you down even more if you don't have a strong base, a strong foundation.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at that point you were at a stage where also with the environment you grew up in, the society you grew up in, you know, you were not... You were at a point where it was the complete opposite of what you are today, where you are living your own life. You know, you have claimed your own life. At this at that point, you probably felt like you had way less control in your life.
I felt like I had none.
And then you felt like suddenly you lost all the control.
Yeah.
You had zero control. You were like, you know, even the few parts in your life that gave you something positive, you know, they suddenly dropped out. You know, they suddenly left you, these people, your support.
Yeah.
And I think this is what, this is how some people might look at it and be like, well, it's grief. It's part of your life. You know, we all come and we go, and you know, we have limited time on this planet. It's always easy to look at it this way from a neutral standpoint, from a rational standpoint, but it's about how strong, you know, is your foundation to be able to keep this rational view, or do you just feel like a lot of things in your life already went against you, you know, you felt sort of helpless, you were unhappy, and then this is sort of the cherry on the cake.
Yeah.
You know? And it took this one thing, this one moment, so everything would just explode.
Exploded, yeah. Everything kind of just like shattered in front of me. And at this stage, like now if I go back down memory lane, I was about 18, 19. And at this stage, I'm now starting to figure out who I am because I'm at uni. I'm spending more time with friends outside of my schooling community and stuff. Spending more time with people that I actually want to spend time with and learning about who I am, what I like, and these kind of things. And I realize who I am more and more. And I realize that this person is less and less what other people expect of me. So I was facing this own internal battle in my head as well, because I was like in a bit of an identity crisis, as I've mentioned a little bit earlier. Like I didn't know who I really was. I think I was kind of finding my feet, you know. I don't think that the real me really came out until later, because I was always afraid that that real me was too much for everyone else. And so like trying to sacrifice myself and who I really was to kind of please other people really affected me mentally as well. And then I would have to be honest, I'll be honest with you guys, I lied so much when I was in uni, like about who I was and what I did, like to my family, because I feel like I couldn't really be myself. Like I'd say that I was at uni in classes when really I was with my friends, and I wasn't doing anything crazy. I wasn't like snorting coke or something. I was just with my mates, but I knew that that would be such a big deal to be out with my friends at this time and things like that. And I just didn't want to deal with it. So I just lied. And the more you lie, the more your self-integrity suffers, you know? And these kind of things were taking away from my self-esteem, my self-integrity, and how I felt about myself. You do that to a person who doesn't really know who they are already. Like that's a lot, you know? And I feel like that looking back now, that impacted me a lot.
And I think another component is, again, I'm not a psychologist, but these are conversations that even if the cameras are off, you know, we would be having amongst the two of us, or we have had some of these conversations in the past where I'm, of course, trying to help make help you understand, you know, like we're trying to discuss and go through these things together. So I have a better understanding, you know, of course, your story. And everything you've gone through, but also you maybe gain a better understanding of everything you've gone through. And I know, or I can imagine also with you being the eldest and you seeing how your parents collapse in front of you, you might have felt like, yes, I've got to be the strong one.
That's 100% how I felt the whole way. And that's a lot of the reason why I didn't express how I felt. I never expressed sadness, you know. I was like, someone has to be the strong one here. I have to look after everyone. I can't fail. I can't like feel sad because everybody else around me is sad. They're going to get sadder. So I feel like I was doing the right thing by kind of just nipping it all in the bud and keeping it inside. But I swear these things, the more you internalize how you feel, pain, grief, sadness, whatever it is you're going through, you keep it internal, you don't process it and you run from it, the more it manifests in other ways. And Farah, I used to get like freaking tension headaches like a crazy woman in university, and I could never figure out why. I was like, why do I keep getting these migraines and these headaches? And then on top of that, I got diagnosed with some other health issues as well, and at the time I didn't know, but they were all stress induced because I wasn't really processing how I was feeling. My emotions had kind of manifested in my physical body, and I think trauma has a way of showing itself in physical ailments if you don't deal with it on an emotional level, and I experienced that a lot, you know.
And if you do not look after yourself and make sure that you have balance in your life, that you do the things that make you happy, you know, that you put yourself first, like all this is so important, you know. If you feel like you're sacrificing yourself in every area, and then you have this topic, this thing, this truth nagging on you all the time, you know, it eats your life basically, because you have no way to vent. You're not looking after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the self-care wasn't really existent at that point.
No, not at all. And it's because the things that were making me happy, if other people knew about them, it would make them sad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I feel like I had this weird like responsibility to other people to make sure that they're happy, because everyone's been through so much pain. I got to make sure everyone's happy. In this process, I didn't realize that I was losing myself more than I ever have. You know, I was stepping further and further away from who I was supposed to be and who I am, because I was too busy caring about how everyone else felt that I forgot me in that whole equation. Yeah. And then like, I would say shit really hit the fan at one point where I was feeling like super down on days, and like I was just going through the motions. Everything just felt like a chore. Didn't really want to see anyone. I was kind of just keeping to myself, go to uni, come home, spend time with some friends here and there, very like skin layer conversation, nothing really deep, you know. And there was a point where things got a lot because I was figuring out who I was, sort of, and then realizing that this is not what everyone else wants. And then on top of that, this undealt with grief and emotions that I've just never expressed, and expressing myself has been something that I've struggled with a lot, because I feel like in an Indian household, or in the one that I grew up in at least, that I couldn't always freely express who I was and how I was and how I felt about things, you know? And I feel like that impacted how I dealt with other things in my life. And that, yeah, that took a lot out of me. And then there was a point where I realized that I needed help, you know? I was sitting in a car and I realized that I needed help. Without going into too much detail there, but there was a point that came where I was just like, all right, I think something needs to change here, because the old me would not have had these thought patterns, you know? So I sought help, and I was like, all right, well, maybe talking about this to someone might help me, you know, and a neutral party as well, because I felt like I couldn't really express myself at home or tell everyone else how I was feeling. I needed someone outside the equation to hear about how I was feeling. And that's when, like, I started seeing a therapist back then. I started seeing her twice a week, and they put me on antidepressants as well. This is not something that I really wanted to do, but they were just kind of like, okay, this will help you, take this. And back then I didn't have like the mindset or the power to be like, you know what, I don't know if I should take these or if these are right for me. I just did whatever the doctor said. I didn't really know much about the effects and stuff like that. But they told me you feel worse before you feel better, and they put me on some medication. And like a week in, I was feeling so freaking horrible, like the worst I have ever felt. Like it was really bad. Like I couldn't even leave my bed, and I'd never been in that position before where everything just felt like it was crashing down on me all the time, you know? And I was like, why is this like that? And it was a medication, but then it's weird, but then it sort of switched and I felt like I could start to see clear again. I don't know if that's how they're supposed to work. I'm not like a scientist or something.
It,
I didn't really
know. It
got
worse before it got better.
Yeah, but that worse, Sven, it was really bad. And they even said the medications like had some side effects, and it said suicide was one of the side effects, you know? And I was like, what the hell is this I'm taking? But eventually I stuck to it because I saw the doctor and they're like, you know what, it'll be okay. Just stick with them. And then I started seeing the therapist more and more, spending a bit more time with her and just trying to uncover the mess that I thought I was in and who I was. And we kind of dealt with a lot of things like grief and emotions and expressing myself. And my therapist is from an Indian background as well, but she grew up outside of India. So I felt like we had this really good connection because she understood family dynamics and everything that kind of went on. So I formed a very good bond with her straight away. But that wasn't like always the case at the start. Like when I first walked into her office, I'm like, what is this woman going to tell me about my life that I don't know already, you know? So it was very like kind of standoffish at the start, but slowly she built the trust and I was able to open up to her more than I've opened up to anyone in my entire life. And sometimes that's what you need. You need someone to, you know, that's going to not going to judge you for how you feel and your thoughts and things, but is really committed to making you feel better.
Yeah.
So that really did help me a lot then. And then I slowly got off antidepressants, and fitness kind of found me through there as well. And I started seeing the therapist less as well, because I started to think of my own strategies to deal with some of the things that I was going on with. But it was always kind of there. Like there was always this weird, like unsettling feeling in me, you know, like because I wasn't fully who I was all the time. And I think I've mentioned this in podcasts before. Like I felt like there was a Jess that was Jess at home. There was a Jess that was Jess with her friends, with her colleagues, in her relationship. I feel like there were so many versions of myself.
Double life, yeah.
Yeah, like a double life, and I couldn't keep up. And sometimes I'm like, who am I here? Who am I there? I was so confused, you know?
I think, and then you started making changes in your life. But before we get into this part of the story and how you then overcame this, it wasn't just a low. You basically hit rock bottom there. You basically reached a point where you didn't really value your life anymore, or you know, you felt like you were not living a life, just going through the motions. And
earlier I spoke about how I was sitting in the car and I kind of just tried to brush over it a little bit,
and I didn't want to interrupt, but yeah
because it is hard for me to speak about. But I feel like if I talk about being authentic, then I should keep it real here as well, and I should tell you guys how I really felt in that moment. And I remember I was sitting in the car, my sister was next to me, and for a moment I forgot that she was next to me. And I was driving, I don't remember where I was driving, I was picking her up from somewhere or something, and then there was a truck coming, like oncoming, and there was this thought in my mind, I was like, you know what, I should just end it here, I should just get in front of that truck. And I wanted to end my life in that moment. And then my sister was just randomly, her voice came out, and I kind of snapped out of it, and I'm like, holy crap, my sister was sitting next to me, imagine I had done that You know?
That was your thought in that moment, that you thought of your sister more than yourself, which is probably typical.
Imagine I had done that. Yeah. Something would have happened to her. I didn't think about me in the moment because I didn't value me at the moment. And then I pulled over to the side of the road and I just started crying profusely. And she's like, what happened? And I'm like, you're the only reason that I didn't go in front of that truck. If she wasn't with me that day, like, I don't know if I would be here today, you know?
That's a tough one for me to take over the mic now.
Yeah, it was very...
And carry on. I mean, this is... you opened up about this part of your life and this story with me before. Going back to depression and how you sort of slip into depression, I think it's so much of a taboo. A lot of people would have been there to some degree, and it's important to talk about these things. I thought in the moment, however, I would have never pushed you into this topic, but we talk about fully being authentic, and this is part of your story. And I think what's the thing here, if it's something like the loss of a loved one, grief, it hits you even more when you don't have the strong base, the strong foundation, and with the double life you lived and the family expectations and how you sacrificed yourself, the floor underneath you was broken already. You know, it was all shaky and broken. So then it's this one event that does throw you off, especially if you then in the long run not feel like you can't deal with it, but you have to be the strong one. You have to be the support system. And while you were talking about it, I was in some way in my head as well, because I also can relate to this, and it's also something that I've never really spoken about publicly, and I don't want to go into it in every detail now, but long story short, with the end of 2017, my father had been diagnosed with skin cancer. And I went back to Germany twice to be there with him, with my sisters, before he then unfortunately passed away in January 2018. So this was a very hectic phase of just 3 months between the diagnosis and his passing. And I remember when I got back from the first trip in October, when he had just been diagnosed, and I was there. I have three sisters, and even though one of them is older, I always felt like the older brother to all of them.
Yeah.
And also with my father, at that point, there was still hope. Skin cancer is very aggressive. It's one of the worst you can get, probably, but there were some new therapies that they had discovered, I think, in the Netherlands. It's called immunotherapy. It was still very expensive at that point, but they then decided to take him into a study. So there was still hope, you know. We were going through all these articles, and I was the one that was sort of trying to spread hope and positivity.
Light at the end of the tunnel, yeah.
While I was at home and being, you know, very strong, I don't think I shed a single tear while I was there. And then that's the point where I can relate. I came back to Australia because I had to go back into my studies. I had to work here. I still had my apartment here, everything. My life was happening here. So I went back after a few weeks with my initial visit. That's also when I think it all hit me, because that was just temporarily. For you, it was, you know, like over weeks and months and years, but I felt like I had to be the strong one.
Yeah.
And here it also showed, I remember that there were some people at work that were treating this, like I was, to give it a bit of context, I was always the one to speak up. If someone treats me like shit, he's not going to get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always the one to speak up for myself, for other people. I'm not taking any bullshit.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were some people at work. I still worked in hospitality in the management that were acting or behaving like dicks. But I remember there was one situation where I completely snapped and I lost it. And I told this guy off, and he had just come in as a new manager. And I had been in that place for a little while. I knew, I was good at what I did and, you know, taking responsibility and stuff. But I completely snapped. And that was over. My mom and her husband had just come over just like after I had been back for the diagnosis. They had booked this trip to Australia before. They had just arrived there, and he didn't want to give me an afternoon off, I think, with my mom or something.
How rude.
And this was, you know, this was something for some bullshit training or some stuff. This was something where I completely snapped and lost it. And I think this is with everything, you know, how much family means to me.
Of course.
Everything I'd gone through in Germany, how I'd, and I just...
You lost it.
it just all broke. It all shattered. Mm. I went back upstairs into my apartment and I was in tears. And so I know how it feels, and it's still, you know, still today. I've read a lot. There's one piece of like, or one, how would you call it? Yeah, a certain philosophy, stoicism, yeah, that I have studied a little bit more, where it is about accepting the things you can't control in life and focusing on the things you have some or full control over. You know, and it has a lot to do with acceptance. I think because I am at a stage now, you know, my father and I, we were very close. You know, he always put the family first before himself. You know, he was a very humble and simple man. So I have the highest respect, but I'm trying to look at the things, not focusing on the things that I'm missing out on, but focusing on the good memories with him, everything he's taught me, and, you know, all the many ways that he still lives on, you know, everything that he has given me, that I'll be passing on to our kids one day, you know. So I'm trying to focus on the positive, focus on the here and now, and not get lost in the past, you know, being full of regret and grief, and also not focusing on the future, the moments where it can't be. Then my sister got married, one of my younger sisters, the other one gave birth to her son. So, you know, it's always, this thought is always part of it, not having him anymore. Yeah. But I think, thank God, even though I know, you know, that deep down there are still some things that I have to deal with or that I haven't faced, but I still feel like I'm at a point where I am strong and stable enough to deal with a loss like this in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, because I can be rational and I can reflect.
Yeah.
And I can see the bigger picture. But when you're at a point where you feel like you're on the edge already, it's just this little push
thing. Yeah. And in your case, it was that event with your manager at the time, and you kind of snapped and you realized maybe how you were feeling.
Yeah, I meant that in the context of depression. You, when you're already on the edge because everything goes against you, you're not happy with your life, you're not stable, yeah, your family environment, you're living a double life, you feel like we've spoken about this as well, because you're a female, you're a daughter in a patriarchal system. You know, there's so much that holds you, puts you down already. You're on the edge. You know,
it just takes like, one thing.
And then it's this one thing, in this case, the loss of your grandparents, that pushed you into depression as soon as it then hit you, you know.
Yeah.
And with me now, of course, temporary grief is difficult. It sucks. It's hard, you know, and I'm still grieving today, more than a year later. But and it's probably never going to fully go away. But I was at a stage in my life where I was more stable. However, even just temporarily, and no one forced me to be the strong one, you know, and I was not in a toxic family environment, you know, we were all very supportive with each other. And still I could see how it affected me being the strong one, you know, and this is nothing that you can maintain, sustain over a longer period of time. Sooner or later, you crack.
Yeah. And I just want to say that I admire you so much for how you speak about this with such strength and power. And I don't even think you realize, but I'm sure a lot of people listening will be affected so much by what you've shared today as well. Like I was wondering if you would a little bit earlier, because I know we spoke a little bit about grief, and I'm like, I'm not sure if he's going to speak about it, or I'm not going to push him into it. But if he does, he does. But I'm very proud of you. And I think something that I've learned from you a lot is the power of mindset and how we deal with things and being more grateful. And I feel like, you know, when we speak about your father, about all these things, we speak about the things that you are so grateful for, how you got to spend so much time with him and how he lives through you, and how I say that I'm so sad that I can't meet him, but I meet him through you, you know? And sorry guys, I had to hold his hand. But yeah, that I meet him through you. And I think talking about all these things, you realize how short life really is, you know? And you're absolutely right where you say that, you know, your base is so important in how you deal with these things. Because I wonder, and I've thought about this as well, if I felt like I was in a supportive environment, like how would I have gone through those stages that I went through? Would it have been different? And I'll never know, because you can't really go back and you just deal with what you have now, you know? But I think, like, going through all these things, it it forms like, and David Goggins says this all the time, but it forms calluses on your mind. Like your mind gets stronger because you start to see things from a different lens. You realize how short life is. You realize that this could be your last day on this earth, and you make a conscious effort to cultivate a life where you are grateful for the good things and you do focus on the good that you have. And I think that's something that I forgot a lot of the time, because maybe I feel like I never really saw it because I didn't really have it.
And baby, that's it. Like that's what I'm what I tried to say earlier. You just put it a lot better. I'm trying to practice the gratitude for everything he has given to me, all the moments and experiences I've had with him. And then at the same time, I know that because he always cared so much about the family, myself and my sisters, I know that he, like, I wouldn't do him justice by dropping into a hole. At the same time, he would understand, like, before he passed away, everything that mattered to him, even in these moments, was that we would be okay. So I know that also, we're talking about not wanting to make other people proud, so that would probably be the wrong expression, but you know, also for him, in his sense, you know, he actually had a doctor in philosophy, and I started reading this book on stoicism on my flight to Germany when he had just been diagnosed, and we got to talk about it, and he was really impressed, because, like, as I grew up, I was never into this, and he was you know, it was funny, it was not that he had told me about it, I just came across it randomly because I, you know, I was like reading about grief and, you know, like looking into different things just short after everything happened. So I know that it would not be in his interest, you know? Like, I know that he, even though he's away, like, he wants us to be okay, you know? He wants us to be okay. And then at the same time, it happened so quickly. It was within 3 months. So, you know, that you just understand and you learn, a lot of times we're wasting our time with these little silly things, and we do not value and realize that we're all not in this forever, you know? There will be the day where we go, so get the most out of it. And this is, I think, how I stayed strong and positive through this. And really, this is the first time that I'm actually, like, publicly talking about this.
I'm so proud of you.
The people that are close to me, they know, of course, what has happened, but there might even be some people out there that listen to this or see this that had no clue. Because I always felt like, I don't know, that it was not the right moment to put it on social media. And it's also something, you know, this is a great context, in the sense of that it's important for us to share our own stories so other people can relate and connect with us, and that we can then help other people through these things, you know. But I never just wanted to just put it out there randomly, because for me, it's not about gaining sympathy or empathy. This is not why we're talking about it here, just so people are like, oh my god, I feel so sorry for you guys. And that's not what it's about. Like, for me, for you, it's years later. For me, it's more than a year later, you know. So now we can also reflect, and we have dealt with it in a certain way. We are still dealing with it, but we can use our story to empower others and show and even show maybe we are a good example of how, depending on your environment and how stable you are in your life and how much you're following. At that point, I was doing what I always wanted to do. Like, you know, I had the full freedom and support of my family. I went here to Australia, you know, even though you could say, my god, almost 30 and he's working as a bartender, never ever did I hear anything like that from my close family. You know, they were just like, whatever makes you happy, do whatever makes you happy, you know. So they were happy that I took this little time out from, like, my corporate job that I had before and stuff. And then there is the opposite end, you know, where you are in a system that is toxic, to put it that way, you know. And then if something like grief hits you or whatever it may be, it can be a breakup, you know, it can be like just something that suddenly
sets it off,
shatters. Yes. That's how you say
shatters
it.
Shatters. You can say both.
Shatters your whole world. And, you know, depending on where you are and who you are and how strong and stable, it can go different ways.
Yeah, and you know what? Just talking about these things, and when you spoke about how you haven't shared this on Instagram and stuff like that, even these things I've not shared on Instagram too. So it's a lesson for all of us to see that just because everyone looks all happy, motivated, inspired, positive all the time on Instagram, that is not the case, because we are all human at the end of the day and we all go through shit.
Yeah, in German we say, like, we all carry our luggage, or everyone's carrying some luggage, or, you know, like a bit of a package that we carry around, basically. So even though you don't see it, there's always a deeper story. And I think that is important. That's why we decided to talk about, well, actually the idea was just to talk about your story, but it also turned into me opening up about
mine. These podcasts are great. Like, we both learned so much when we're doing them
and
as well.
It's a bit of therapy for both of us as well. Like, now you can see that, you know, people, like, I still wouldn't put myself on the same level as Jess, because I know that you've come from a point of depression where you were close to taking your life, and I feel like you're, I know you're not going to agree on this.
No, but you can't say that.
Anyway, let me finish this. I feel like you've had it so much harder in your life. You know, these changes that you have made, like I've said that before, like, but now you have it on camera. Like, it's so inspiring. It takes so much. I feel like compared to you, I was still so privileged. I know, then again, it sounds fucking like ironic or dumb because I've lost my father, which is, you know, which still hurts me so much today. But, you know, it's great to see that you have someone now, and even, or especially with the story, the podcast, everything you do now for female empowerment, you know, to break taboos and stuff. People are like, you're such an inspiration. But to see you also were somewhere down there in the mud at some point, you know, and you climbed your way up by making changes, by taking action, by claiming your life, you know, by doing what you want to do and understanding this is my life.
Yeah.
And I only have one life to live, you know. So I think that's the key message here as well. We could have, if things went differently in your life, maybe you would have dealt with it in a different way. If things would have gone a little bit different in my life, maybe, you know, this would have pushed me into depression. Like, you know, where you guys are right now, maybe you are not feeling well. A lot of people have been there. A lot of people could have been there. And a lot of people have found their way out. So there is not just hope. It's not just hoping for something to change. You know, it's consciousness. It's your mindset. It's taking action. And maybe we can actually go back to what you where you were earlier before I, like, you know, completely... before I took a complete different turn here with the conversation, but you were also talking about you being in therapy, working with your therapist, but then also making changes in your professional life. I think, you know, like finding your passion for fitness.
Yeah, definitely.
And how you worked your way out.
Yeah. So look, therapy, it helped me a lot, because one of the things I struggled with and why I shook my head at you earlier when you said, like, oh, I feel like you had it harder and stuff like that, is because I used to say these same things, and I feel like that stopped me from, you know, feeling the pain that I was in, because I feel like so many people have it worse. What is this? You know, stuff like that. At the end of the day, pain is pain. Grief is grief. We all handle it differently. We can't always choose what happens to us, but we can somewhat control how we behave towards those things, so our reactions. And I think speaking about it openly to somebody that was neutral, that I knew had my best interests at heart, and that was key. That really, really helped me a lot. So through that, and through like fitness and that endorphin release, you know, fitness is something that we'll speak about in another podcast. It's a whole big topic and I don't want to go over it now, but that helped me a lot as well. And I think also
you also professionally changed then from corporate into working as a trainer. Sorry, okay.
No, that's okay. Because you know my whole story as well.
Yeah, I'm just making sure you're not skipping anything.
So I was in corporate at the time as well, just doing, again, another robotic job, in, out, clock in the morning, clock out in the evening. You know, still sort of running away from myself in a lot of ways because I kept so busy. But then a point came where I wasn't happy. Like, I was just like, far out, man. I hate this. I hate my life. What is this? Do I want to be like this for the rest of my life? And I was like, you know what? And I was thinking about this for like 6 months, that I need to quit, but I got to wait for something better, because what will people say if I just quit my job and I'm without a job and bloody da. One day it came and I was
that
like...
So that was still this pressure, especially in the Indian or Punjabi community. Like, you know, you have this corporate job, you nailed everything, you nailed school, this and that. And you were still...
Yeah, because that's just what everyone did.
You were still following.
Yeah, following. I was a sheep, man. I tell you, I was a sheep.
Yeah.
And like...
And then?
Because I was always like, oh, what will people think, blah, da, da, da. And one day it came and I was just depressed about going to work in the morning. I was sitting in, I went to work that day and I took like a super extra long lunch break, like an hour and a half, and I sat in my car and one of my colleagues was with me and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm quitting. She's like, what? What do you mean you're quitting? I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Fuck it. I went and wrote my resignation letter at my desk that day and I handed it into my director. He thought he was fooling me into a meeting or something. And I'm like, oh, by the way, I just want to let you know I've resigned. And they were awesome. Like, they were great to me, but it just wasn't for me. So they were super shocked. Like, what's wrong? You feel like you're not getting paid enough? I'll increase your pay. You need some time off. Take the time off. I'm like, none of this is going to help me. I realized a long time ago that this wasn't for me. And by me staying on, it will be doing a disservice not only to myself, but to you and the business as well, because I wasn't really fully invested in it anymore. Yeah. I just didn't give a shit, you know, and I don't want to do anything half-assed. So I left and I took time off, took about a year off from work, you know, and for me, like, that was huge. And like, a lot of people would have been like, what the fuck? This person doesn't even work anymore. What's wrong with that? She looks healthy. She's going to the gym, blah, 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 because I never shared about these things. But I was dealing with a lot. And I took that year to kind of deal with a lot of the things that I was running away from, this anger, this grief, this pain that I had. I was trying to find healthier ways to deal with it. And that was where fitness kind of came in. And through that, I realized that fitness has such power. And then I decided to pursue my studies as a personal trainer and do something that made me very, very happy. So I got into my studies there, became a trainer. And now, like, a huge reason of why I got into it was to show other people that there is a way out, because that helped me so much. It gave me something to focus on, you know, like I could put this negative energy into these weights. And it was just me in the way. It's like all that crap I was feeling, I could just take it out there and just leave it. And it just made me feel so good. Like, super therapeutic.
Stress relief.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a way to work off your trauma. And I think what you didn't realize at the point when you resigned from your job was that that was in some way the first small step of putting yourself first, starting to not give a fuck about other people think, you know, what
definitely
society thinks, and everyone would be like, you know, whistling and talking about it.
Yeah,
oh my god,
how
could she, and oh my, like, what has happened to that girl, like, you know, how's she gonna pay her bread and butter, basically.
I didn't give a shit about
but
that
you
anymore.
But you got to the point where you realized and you know, woke up, and with the help of the therapy as well, you realized, fuck all this.
Yeah,
you know?
Fuck it, man.
Well, what am I even doing here?
Exactly.
I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my life. I'm throwing it away. This needs to stop.
Like, I'm not happy and I can change it, so I will change it. And then I became a personal trainer, and that was another tick for me where I started living for myself and doing things for me. Because to be honest, like, a lot of people before I became like a PT and I was still studying, people were like, all right, so when are you going to like stop this course and go back to your corporate job? Like, you had such a great corporate job. When are you going to stop this like hobby of yours? What do you mean you work in a gym? Like, how's that going to look like when you get married and stuff like that? I'm like, what the fuck, man? Shut up. Like, I loved it. I'm like, no, I love this. This is my job now. And a lot of people struggled with that for a long time. But then I realized that I didn't give a shit about what these people thought, and I did what made me happy anyway. And like, I got to the point where I was like the happiest I'd been in a very, very long time. So for me, I was like, yes, I found something that's mine, you know? And then after that, like, becoming a PT helped me a lot, because I was doing things that made me happy, and I felt like I was becoming more authentic about who I am in that sphere, in my professional sphere. So for me, that was a big step. But of course, there is also the part of you where, you know, it's away from the corporate, away from your friend circle. It's the things that you say to yourself when no one else is around. And that's something that I struggled with a lot still. Like, the self-talk was still very negative in a lot of ways, because I was like, ah, oh, I have to be like this, but how am I going to get married? People want me to get married. There was all this pressure on me to do these things that were always there, but I just I couldn't do it anymore. And like, I realized that, you know what? I know that I cannot succumb or become these things that what people like want for me, and that's just something I'm not gonna do. And I see that now, so I'm just not gonna be them. So I started living more of a secret life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you, I mean, with fitness and the work as a personal trainer,
yeah,
that's where you did find, you followed like your passion.
Yeah,
you stayed away, or you left the toxic, the negative, and you know, you move towards the positive.
Definitely.
And then also by working with other people and helping other people and helping them change their lives and helping them become happier and healthier and, you know, making these changes. I think this is also what empowered you and showed you that there is so much you can give.
Yeah, I was healing parts of myself by helping other people. And that's why, like, for me, personal training became my way of performing seva, which is like the selfless service, is a concept in the Sikh religion. And for me, it just became about like helping other people see that, you know what, the way you feel about your body and how negative you feel and stuff. It doesn't always have to be this way, you know? Like, I can help you get to a place where your mind is free of these insecurities and helping people show that there is light at the end of the tunnel and we don't have to stay stuck feeling crap all the time. And that's, like, helped me a lot as a trainer. And I'll say that all these things that I went through have made me an even better trainer because I focus so much more on mindset now because everything starts here. Like, I feel like when we don't fix what's in here or pay attention to what's happening in our mind, it does come out in physical ailments. So it's important to talk about the things that make us tick and why we're upset and we come to our own like realizations as well. So I feel like even in a lot of my personal training sessions, I was a bit of a psychologist myself without even being one. I think I've told you about this a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really help people like talk through their traumas and stuff because I think it's important. And once you just kind of get through that part of your mind where you realize, okay, you know what? This is me. I'm creating this for myself. You can kind of take away all that stuff and then the weight loss happens, the happiness happens, they start running marathons and it's all good. Instead of approaching it from, okay, let's do these goals, I always go, okay, so what is the reason that we are in this place today? Like, why is this important to you and how do you feel in these kind of
what's
things?
What's good, what's bad? And you know, what's our starting point?
Looking at
and
the root, not just the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes people would also express goals that are not even their own. So I think that's why it's important to dig a little bit deeper.
Definitely.
And figure out what's the story behind it. So then, of course, from there, and this is what you guys would know about, that's more of the story that is that is a bit has been a bit bigger
more
or more public and popular on Instagram. That's when you then, you know, this empowered you more and more and more to then take
action.
Yeah, take more steps and take more action to like breaking free from all the chains.
To take more and more control of my life. And that's exactly what I did on the 15th of January. Like, I took life in my own hands completely. Like, there were steps over the years where I took life a little bit more and more for myself. But that day is when I took it completely for myself, you know? And that was a hard space to get to. And we spoke about it a lot before it even happened. Like, I was having ups and downs. Like, I was still having negative periods about this whole thing. Like, I was crying.
After moving out?
Before moving out, especially.
Yeah, before, after, during, yeah.
Just the whole time, really.
And I also know that there were moments where you felt like, I think I'm going back. I think I'm going backwards.
I
you
felt
know,
like
I feel empty again. I think, and I was just like, shut up.
Yeah.
You're not. You're not that anymore. This is where your life starts. It's normal. It's growing pain. You know, you have an identity crisis. You are in between the worlds. You thought this was your life for a very, very long time. And now suddenly you make these massive changes that you never thought you would or you never thought you could. Of course, you have doubts. Of course, you have these moments of emptiness, you know, then in the whole family context, you know, suddenly people turning their backs towards you, you know, and disowning you and not talking to you anymore that you thought were your support system. Big, big, big deal. Big change and challenge. And this is also part of why I said earlier, I feel like if I look at you and everything you had to go through, you know, this I really admire it and it's really inspiring. But yeah, I was there to support you. At the same time, I was there to
kick my ass when I was being in my own head.
Shake you and kick your ass when you felt like, oh my God, we all have these moments, all of us.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
course,
I was so scared.
Yeah, but in a situation like this,
yeah,
of course, these moments of doubt and weakness will go to a bit of a different extreme.
Yeah,
because
they're very
everything
intense.
Because everything was extreme. Everything was intense. Yeah.
Of course. Like, I feel like all my emotions were so heightened throughout the whole thing, like super intense because such an intense thing had happened. And there's no freaking manual that says how to get disowned 101 and what to do. Disowned for dummies. Like, no one wrote this book on how to deal with these things. Like, you're just kind of winging it, you know? But I'm so lucky that I had your support and your family support and like the boys at work and like my friends as well, like super supportive throughout the whole thing. That even when I felt like I was going back to that dark space and that was such a bad place for me, I was so afraid to get back there. But I know that I wouldn't. Like, I knew it was just like my subconscious trying to pull me back to those familiar patterns of thought and like trying to pull me back to
that's
what I knew
it.
Was
and look at the same
negative.
At the same time, looking back now, I think it's going to be good for you that you tap back into it because because you know I felt like I went back there, but I'm never going
back
there
ever.
Again. I'm never going back there ever again, because if you talk about this, it's hard to compare. That's what I tried to say as well about the loss of my father, you know, and the grief that I have to deal with. What do you compare being disowned over, like, you know, losing your dad, and like you can't compare these things. However, you say it yourself, this is the biggest change, the biggest challenge that you have gone through in your life. And that's the thing. And I knew this. I don't know. It's not that I can see the future or anything, but a lot of the things that did happen in the end, I did see coming.
Fortune teller.
I don't know. And I told you this. I told you, look, this is going to be the toughest weeks or month in your life. At the same time, the most empowering weeks and month. And you're not just going to change your own life. You're going to change the life of many.
Yeah.
And this is part of why we're sitting here today. And, trying to see and understand. You saw it in your profession. Now you see it with social media and breaking all these taboos and saying, fuck this shit. This needs to change. You know, there is a bigger picture, a bigger story. You know, we're not just here to live our own lives. Of course, focus on that. Sort your shit out. You know, live your life for yourself. But then as soon as you do that and you talk about it openly and you are authentic, you will inspire the lives of others. If that is just in your, and just doesn't mean like, oh, it's only your family, only your environment, that's amazing. If you have social media following, even better, because you can reach more people. But you know, even if you just change the life of one or two on top of your own life, how good is that?
Yeah. 100% agree with you. Freaking hell, that word disowned is such a shit word, but it's so important for us to own our stories, like to share our stories, because there is no shame for us in all of this. We're not the ones that decided that we don't want our family anymore, you know? Yeah. We just decided to be ourselves, and unfortunately some people couldn't deal with it, okay? Fair enough. And you know what? You're absolutely right where you say that these last few months, of course, the most challenging for me, but definitely the most empowering and rewarding, because now like I'm in this life where I am me all the time, and this is something I never thought possible. Like, I speak about it with you all the time. Like, 2 years ago, if you were to tell me I'd be sitting in my own apartment with my partner, like, I could be myself fully, I could train when I wanted, I was in a profession that I loved, and I was happy, and I was content, I'll be like, fuck right off. No way. What are you talking about? Like, I thought I was going to get into that whole marry who everybody else says and then fall into the path of whatever I was meant to do and just go through this life. But I never thought that I'd be doing things that making my own dreams come true. Like, I've always wanted to do something like have a podcast and speak about who I am openly. And I always held these things back because I was afraid of what other people thought of me. But I've shed that like next level now. I don't give a shit what people think about me. People are always going to say, oh, you did this because of this, whatever. But I know the truth. The people that know me know the truth. And the people that, you know, are going through the same sort of things, you guys know the truth as well. So even if you stand in the face of adversity where people say to you, you know what, it wasn't that bad, people have it worse than you, bloody data. No. You know what? You went through it and you know how it was
and
for you.
And only you know the full story. And there's one thing I would like to say as well, because I know this from you, that even within your family, not everyone even knows about your depression or to that extent. It was a taboo there. And then looking at the bigger picture at society, it also is a taboo. What is it a taboo for? Like, because people feel like I'm weak. It's something to be ashamed of. And I think this is something you've broken in so many ways. You felt like this about your depression. You felt like this most of all, maybe about this moment where you were like on the edge of taking your own life. You also felt about having been disowned. Yeah. Everything that has happened now. So, you know, we always feel like if we have a moment of weakness, if other people do something to us, you know, like, or it's this feeling of worrying about what other people think, you know, that's the root of the problem here. If you make your life about what other people think and want for you, you know, then you're afraid to open up. I'm not feeling great. Oh, no, I'm good. It's all good, you know, and nothing gets better from there because the people around you might be unaware, you know. And if you feel like something has happened to you, but you're taking the shame, you're taking the blame, even though you're not responsible, and then you're making that as a taboo. As soon as you break these patterns and you just open and also open about your weaknesses and your weak spots like we were today, it turns out to be so empowering, and this is the only way to get out of it. You don't always have to do it fully publicly, but go and speak to someone, like, you know, in your case, I am not a therapist. I I would say, as far as I can diagnose, I've never been depressed. But still, I can imagine that it's good to talk to someone neutral, ideally, depending on your support system, and open up about these things. You know, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, even though you can't see it. There are people to help you find it, and look at Jess today and see how far you can go from, you know, having been that girl that was depressed, that was unhappy, that felt like nothing was going right in her life, all the way to sitting here today and completely owning and claiming your life and doing everything you love and doing everything you want and not feeling limited in any way.
Yeah, and if you were to tell that Jess back then, the one that was sitting in that car that was so upset that day, that didn't value her life, that this would be her life today, like, she would not have believed you. She would have been shocked, because back then I couldn't see past where I was. Like, I didn't have the vision. I couldn't see where I was going to go, and then it just all kind of got too much for me. But, like, I'm just, even the life that I have now, like, I'm so blessed and grateful for it. And every day, like, I think of three things that I'm grateful for in the morning that helps kind of set the tone for my day, just to appreciate things in life even more and more, because life is so precious, and going through shit, it makes you realize how things can be taken away from you in just a second. Your whole life can just change. So live every day and live every moment. Like, be there, be present with the people that you're with. Like, none of this, like, being with people but being on the phones and none of, like, not even communicating with the people in front of you, you know, like, there's a person there. And sometimes I feel like we lose that a lot because of technology and things like that. So it's important to really be present. And you know what? Now, the place that I am at now, I'm so grateful and happy for myself, and I would even say thankful for myself that day I didn't get in front of that truck, like, because I wouldn't be able to sit here and talk about all the things that, you know, like, I've been able to achieve since then, all the happy things that have happened, how I met you and all these kind of things. Like, this wouldn't have happened if I wasn't here today. And, you know, life is very precious.
It's very precious. And it makes you... Well, and you're the living example of...
It can get better.
Yeah, of how much potential is in all of us.
Yeah.
In all of us. If we just believe in ourselves, and, you know, I'm not an expert on this. I don't have the whole guide on how to beat or overcome depression, but I think it's baby steps. It's doing more for yourself than for others. You know, these little things, taking that day off, going on that trip, you know.
Self-care.
Changing your job, taking time for yourself, starting to say no more if it feels wrong to you. You know, like, all these little things. It's about putting yourself first, being open and honest about how you feel. Like, do we owe explanation to anyone on this planet?
No, just
apart
to
yourself. From ourselves. Yeah. And I think, you know, that, and I've read something like this as well. Like, the toughest or hardest judgment in life is the one inside the courtroom in our heads. Basically,
I like that
one. You know, so do not, like, you shouldn't be that harsh with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, but then also, you know, like, be nice, be kind, put yourself first. Don't judge yourself for what you do wrong, what you did wrong. You know, focus on the future that is ahead of you and make the changes, these baby steps, the changes. Understand that the control is in your hands. And going back to something that I had in my mind earlier about antidepressants, I remember that in my studies, you know, studying fitness, I even looked into studies where it was about antidepressant versus sport.
Yeah.
Gym, resistance training, very similar effects with the difference that usually the people that overcame their depression through training felt like, that was me. Fuck it. I nailed it at the gym, you know, and I got out of this hole. Where when when people took antidepressants, they were more likely to put it on the medication than, you know, claiming
the victory for themselves.
Taking the victory for themselves. And that's the thing here. The medication, it may have helped you, but what really helped you in your life was when you started making these changes.
Yep.
When you accepted where you were and you took the steps to get out of there.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely what has helped me the most. So taking life into my own hands and having self-care. And self-care looks different for everyone. For me, it was like a year and a little bit off work to figure out what the hell I was about and what I wanted to do in my life. But also, even moving out the way I did in January this year, that was self-care. Like, that was me looking after me, the future me, my dreams, my hopes, my aspirations, my own happiness, my inner peace, and all these things. Yeah, I put those first for myself for the first time ever.
That was not the final part of the puzzle or piece of the puzzle, but a very, very big one. A very important one, you know. That was like, I can see your whole, you know, you can see the journey and how you...
Evolution of jazz.
Yeah, and how step by step by step by step, you know, you got to where you were today or where you are today. And, you know, like from all the way down there where you were like feeling miserable.
Yeah.
But it was all your actions. Of course, people helping you along the way. That's normal. And that's something to understand as well. You do not have to feel embarrassed, weak for having somebody else help you out of something. And we all, everyone in this world, you know, take the most successful people and they've had mentors. They've had people in the background or right by their side that have helped them, you know. No one's just, you cannot be happy, successful in life when you're just like a lone wolf and you feel like I've got to, you know, fix it all for myself. You know, you're also here to support me, to catch me sometimes when I, you know, when I have days where I'm sad, you know, when I have days when I'm in grief. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking the support and help of other people, the people around you.
That shows real strength as well. Like when you can be like, you know what, recognize it. Okay, I need help right now and I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to communicate to someone that I'm not okay. And that is okay. That doesn't mean you're weak. And that's something I struggled with a lot, thinking that because I was asking for help that I was weak. But I was never weak. It was just me judging myself, you know, and I treated myself very poorly. And I apologize to myself for judging myself in that way because that wasn't fair to me, you know. You've got to take help where you can. And if you're lucky enough to have a supportive environment where you can communicate who you are openly and freely, like, use that. Like, tell people how you feel. And if not, then...
And if you don't, then create it.
Create it. Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. You're going to read my mind, boy. Yeah, create it. And if that means, like, look at your friend circle and see if they like bringing you up. If they're bringing you down, then maybe you need to change your friend circle. Like, look, think about the circle of influence you're in, because a lot of the time how we feel can be dictated a lot by the environment and the people we spend time with as well.
Yeah, we said that. It's the foundation, basically.
Yeah.
And I think going back to what I touched on earlier, we are two examples of how, depending on how strong and stable and confident you are, and depending on your environment and also the environment you grew up in, you know, it can go one way or the other, you know, if grief is just one of the examples of what can kick this off.
So many things can.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you know, then you are also the living example of, even if everything goes against you, you can change it by taking action. You know, there is no point where you have to feel like, what can I do?
You can't be a victim of your circumstances.
I'm just
going to
surrender.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, just please, surrendering is not an option.
Yeah.
You know, you are so much stronger. We are so much stronger than we think we are.
Yeah.
Everyone's so lost in their own heads. Like, there, you know, there are whole studies and theories around this. Like, you know, we are all worrying so much more about ourselves and what other people might think and how we might come across.
Yeah.
And we pay so much more attention to ourselves than anybody else does.
Yeah, people don't care that much.
Nobody really cares about you, because what they care about most is themselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's facts. I don't know if it's facts, but I'm just putting it out there.
It's universal facts.
I reckon there are actually studies on that. But
there probably are. We can dig them up somewhere.
It's my fact. I make it a fact. You can quote me on that.
No one judges us harder than we judge ourselves, and we've just got to be a little bit kinder to ourselves. And yes, we will all have days where we go through shit, and that is okay. We are human. Sven has been through it. I've been through it. I go through my moments every day, every like week when I feel like I'm not feeling that great and stuff, but I communicate because now I'm in an environment where I can express how I feel and I'm safe to...
And at the same time, also don't compare yourself with others.
Yes.
Like, how can I feel like this? It's only like a little thing, you know, like maybe I came across like wrong there earlier. It's just like, yeah, maybe I do admire you more than I admire myself. But it's also, you know, like self-reflection is very important. And maybe I haven't reflected on myself in the process I've gone through enough yet, you know, and I
think it's a journey.
I haven't spoken about it publicly enough, but we shouldn't even compare, and you shouldn't feel like, my God, how, like, you know, you shouldn't feel like now listening to to our stories, you shouldn't feel like, how can I sit here depressed about just not having the job that I love? Or, you know, about whatever it is.
Your story is your story.
About my dog passing away or something. There is no better or worse or different. You shouldn't apply any sort of scale or anything, you know. If it matters to you, if it has enough power for you, then that's okay, you know.
Okay.
No, don't judge yourself for it, or don't judge on. And also at the same time, I don't feel like, you know, I'm not comparing. I don't feel like, no one's been through what I've been through. You don't say like, oh, no one's been through what I, like, you know. We're not, you shouldn't, we're not using our story to put ourselves out there as heroes. It's about like just showing how everyone has their own struggles. You know, everyone is vulnerable in some way, and you never know what life throws at you. So just be grateful, you know, and appreciate it, and understand that there is only one person that can really control your life, and that is yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you give the control to other people, you allow them to control it, you know, that you always have a plan B. You always have a way out. Take the action. Understand that the only way to happiness is by living life to your own standards, basically, and claiming life for yourself.
Yeah, beating your own drum. And sometimes it can take a while for you to see that you are the one in control and that you have the choice. But you know what? Just be kind to yourself along the way, and you'll get to a place where you realize all these kind of things. And this has just been our journeys, you know. I'm sure a lot of people go through it in different ways. And like you said, like, doesn't mean that just because you've lost your job, you can't be depressed. Like, you feel how you feel.
Yeah,
you feel how you feel.
And that's the thing, we said it earlier, only you know the full story.
Exactly.
Like, you know, if people try to judge you on it and make like some negative comments or something, you know, or try to ridicule you or whatever, like, fuck them. They don't know the full story.
Water off a duck's back.
And if someone even tries to have a go at you or attack you in that context, it already tells so much about them.
Exactly.
So you know, like, whoever confronts you with negativity, you know that they have a major issue.
It's about
themselves.
Them. They got their own story going on. Don't, and they will deal with their own pain and their own trauma in their own way. And maybe that's just their trauma leaking out onto you. But don't take it personally.
Nothing to do with you. Yeah,
don't take it personally. Just look after yourself and make sure that you put yourself as a priority.
Yeah.
You
oof.
Know?
Long podcast, heavy podcast. It's even difficult to end it right here.
But
it was really important to us or for us to open. To open up about these things. For me, it was sort of spontaneously. For you, it was. Thank you. Well, I can just repeat that I'm very proud of you as well. We wanted to use our stories to inspire you and show you that, you know, even though we seem very strong in what we do, not just in the gym, but also, you know, when it comes to mindset and our mentality. You know, we all have our stories and our struggles that we go through, and there is always a way out, and the key is taking action and putting yourself first.
Yes.
So we hope that you had a few bits and pieces here and there that do help you in your own life, that inspire you, that help you through the challenges that you are facing, and that we could help you along your journey. And if you feel like reaching out, I know this is very, very personal. No one has to put it out there publicly in the comments on YouTube or social media if they don't feel like, but you can always message us, message us personally. And, you know, your story is your story, and only you know the full story. So, you know, whatever it is, if you do not feel happy in your life, if you feel like you are depressed or you're sliding into depression, you know, it's always something to take seriously, and there are always people there to support you.
Yeah, and talk to someone and just look after yourselves, you know, put yourself first. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for watching and listening today. We see you again in a week from now. Leave your feedback if you like. Reach out if you like. We hope this resonated. And thank you so much for listening and watching.
Have a lovely week, everyone.
See you soon. Bye-bye.